The following presentation was recorded at the 2014 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
At the different workshops being given, so I would try not to overlap. But the talk this morning, I said, he's doing my lesson, part of it at least. So I've given you several handouts, and this is the effort that you take to come. I know some of you, I think probably the furthest away is Idaho. I see at least one in here from Idaho. And that's the reason I know he's from there, because I have a son living. There's a couple of you here from Idaho. I have a son that's living in Bonner's Ferry. So welcome to all of you from wherever you are. And just the effort. You know, there are certain people that I would say probably most of us, I don't know of any of you board members for your position, and most of you probably weren't all that excited to get that, and yet God called you to that position and make the best of it. And that's the way we, and I see a variation of values in certain communities and certain schools. Our brother talked about the mindset of not being overly excited about having 11th and 12th grade. Some communities are in, just get by. If we can just get by, that's all we're interested in. 8th grade, perhaps, education. And some are maybe on the other end of that spectrum, and they want a very good education, are very concerned, and they put forth a lot of effort to do that. So just the fact that you're here and you're open to learn is a blessing. And maybe you have churches or other people that have even contributed to sending you here. That's a blessing as well. How many of you are school board directors? Or you're on the school board. Can I see your hand? How many of you are here as pastors and not school board members? Okay, some of that overlaps. I'm also ordained, but I have pre-2000, I was on the school board. It seemed like some people say, how long have you been on the school board? Well, not a local board. It seems, I always tell them, well, something like 50 years. There's just kind of, I don't know how many years, I think 20 plus years. And I've served on some other boards that have perhaps in that process, I have benefited as well. And when you become a school board member, ideally, it will develop you in ways that you would not have been developed as well. It's any kinds of service that we do. And even the thing of sending our young people into VS service. You know, we can send them with the idea that they are there to serve, but I also like to say you want to be there in a place where you can grow and learn. And those VS units that have programs to develop their staff, that's quite a blessing. And some have done that well, some haven't. They've just pretty well ignored what the person needs to grow spiritually and to develop and to be trained and so on. So the effort, Abraham Lincoln once said, never think someone is losing time by stopping to sharpen his axe. And I like to think about you this morning here. This is not dead time. This is when you're sharpening your axe. And if you've ever cut with a chainsaw, you know if you hit or nick that blade with a stone or dirt or something and it becomes dull, you may as well quit and sharpen or put a new chain on there, or you're not going to get very far. It's going to be very hard work. And so this morning, hopefully, we can do a bit of sharpening on our axes. I've divided this into, I think, about 7 parts here. And the one part I did miss, and I could make all kinds of excuses how busy I am, but you are too. So the number, the one where we talk about evaluation. I thought maybe to talk about most of our boards, I think, here are also, they hire the personnel, or they hire the principal, or they hire the teachers. And so there's a few things I wanted to say about that as well. The first point is the men that serve on the board, just to talk about the kind of person we are and how that changes our perspective on how we perceive what we do. And one of the questions that we ask when we look at the school board and why we serve on the school board, oftentimes we don't get a big picture view of what we're trying to accomplish. And so the question is asked in the assignment here is, what is the school board? And I would say, for what purpose does it exist? And then looking at the men that serve on this board, we are called to be godly men. We are called to be men that of discipline, men that spend time with God, scheduled time with God, men that pray, men that read the Word, that know the Word, in that position of authority and of leadership, even as a father, it is important for us to be godly men. And then when we are put into positions of authority outside the home as well, Jesus made the point several times to his disciples, repeatedly, even up to the very end, repeatedly his disciples were having this discussion or a argument among themselves that who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And Jesus was an example himself, being here as the very Son of God, serving and giving his life. And he says in Mark 9, verses 30 through 37, I'm just going to read verse 37, or 35 it is. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Now, that's not necessarily a negative statement. Just because I like to be first, you're not going to make it or be last. This is simply saying whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. We call this servant leadership. I serve as bishop at the Sandy Ridge Church, Sandy Ridge Mennonite Church, about 25 miles southwest of here. And I say to my congregation that the laity, you are the servants. And then the ordained men, we have five at our church, are the servants of the servants. And then me in the office of bishop, I am the servant of the servants of the servants. I believe that's how Jesus would desire us to serve. So in any position, you know, we sometimes hesitate. We don't want that position. Then when we were on the board, perhaps, then we like to, maybe we somewhat glory in that, or we are now someone of importance. And so I can walk into the school and I can, you know, I am a school board member and pay attention here because I'm here, and those kinds of attitudes, if we're human, we struggle with at times. So be a servant leader. And servant leaders are motivated not by power nor prestige, but by genuinely putting the interests of others ahead of themselves. One scripture that has just jumped out at me in the last several years, and it's actually the verse of that scripture is in brackets. It's kind of saying something about the man Moses. Moses was considered, even today, strategically, he was a great military leader. He's often looked at, perhaps other than Jesus Christ, as the greatest leader ever. And yet he had a faltering speech. And he felt very intimidated, and he didn't want to lead. And God got angry with him almost. And Aaron was sent. Apparently Aaron was able and was eloquent in his speaking, and Miriam was also a part. Well, one day, in I think this is in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, I think it says that Aaron and Miriam began to say, don't we also hear from God? Something to that effect. And God saw that as rebellion in their hearts. And then it just says God was displeased with that. And then it makes a statement here in this verse that I'd like to call to our attention. And this is in brackets. And it says, now the man Moses was very, can you give the word? Meek. The man Moses was very meek. And then it says something even more astonishing. It says, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. If we take that literally, that's quite a statement. It just gives the example of the type. You know, sometimes we pick leaders because they're more aggressive. My problem has been over the years, I speak before I think. I'm swift to speak and slow to hear. And I've worked on that. And some people say I'm choleric. So we look at positions of leadership. Who is, are leaders developed or are they born? And maybe we could argue about that a bit. It does help to have some natural ability, no doubts. But I see here a man that had apparently no natural ability and was one of the, because of the meekness and his fellowship. He talked to God. God said, don't you understand that this man visits with me as man does to man? I don't communicate with man that way. I usually speak through a prophet, but here's a man that I can speak to. And so he was, although very meek and unqualified for the job, became a great man because of his commitment to God and willingness to serve and do what God is calling him to. Micah 6:8, I have somewhat as a life verse where it says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Those three things, brothers, bear in mind when you're in leadership position. To think, don't take advantage of the fact that you are over someone, but think as a servant, someone who serves them. Do justly. Do what is right and just. Don't take favorites. Don't somehow skew something to get your way, your agenda. Do justly. Love mercy. Be merciful. I'm inclined not to be a merciful person. The scripture says here to be merciful and then to walk humbly with your God. I believe the grace of God is only available when we are inadequate or weak, as it says in scripture. Then the grace of God becomes available to us. There's a quote that I read in preparing for this. It says, what an organization is capable of doing, what an organization is capable of doing resides in the abilities of the people who run it. And I believe that's true, but only partially true based on what I just said. But ability is something to look at when we appoint members or when we vote for members on the board, especially when it comes to areas of maybe chairmanship or being a treasurer is a very important consideration, that somebody has at least some kind of a gifting to do some of this. While some men come ready-made, most of us are a work in progress. So don't be, we remind us this morning, don't be intimidated. I guess from my experience, I think it's better to have a board of inexperienced men who are eager to work and learn than a roster of so-called professional men that are there for the prestige or are not, their egos are so big that you can't hardly get around it. And that happens on our boards, in our circles, that baggage or big egos that are there. I was just recently amazed at time wasted. I was sitting in on another board. One of the things that happens so many times for ordained men is we want a pastor on every board, so we get to attend a lot of board meetings, and I'm not sure how necessary that is, but I was attending this board meeting, and it had to do with a finance committee. And the big egos, there was a big ego in the, and it took a lot of time to listen to all his stories and how he did things. And I just, that's a good example of time wasted, where we get off focus and someone has this big ego that we need to listen to. And I think we can grow great boards. We can call this service in-service training. And I would say good orientation. When a person is first called to be on the board, he is the most open to learn and receive and do what you ask. So this is a good time to have an orientation. And this orientation, when we get onto a four-lane highway, we usually use that acceleration lane to come into to merge into the traffic, and that's what we need. We could look at orientation as that. We're getting the board member up to speed to where he doesn't slow things down too much. It's helpful that he can kind of hit the ground running with orientation. If we do this right and good. So orientation is a good training opportunity. One of the things we can do for orientation that really helped me when I, as a 30-some-year-old man, was first on the school board, had no clue what was going on, and just the material available to read. There was a book in those days by a Lowry that was very good. I don't know if it's still in print or not. I don't even think later the board used it anymore. But for me, it was very helpful to get a picture of what board work is about. Then also, I have a book here this morning called Doing Good Even Better by Edgar Stowes. And I would recommend that book. It's not necessarily just addressed to school boards, but to nonprofit boards and Christian boards. So it's helpful to read some of those things as an orientation. And just for new board members, and this was addressed already somewhat, if you're a new board member, I believe you should be respectful of all that has gone before. But you should not be intimidated. God has called you to that, and the people that have voted to put you in have seen the qualities in you that they say, hopefully that's the way it happened, that they say, this man is able to be on this board and represent me or represent this church on the board. So, the first day on the job, your vote counts as much as the senior member on the board. And I believe you have a unique role to play. You see things with fresh eyes, and your questions, the things that you ask, you say, well, I'm embarrassed of asking it, but some of those questions that are asked haven't been asked for a long time. And maybe you see things that could happen with that board that the rest of the board has given up on, and you bring that afresh anew. You bring a fresh perspective, even in your ignorance. And asking questions from that perspective can be a good thing. Respect what has gone before, but don't be intimidated. If you wait till you're halfway through your tenure to become active, you've wasted a lot of time. Become active. I missed my podium here. Okay, I think I missed a page here. Number two, what is the school board? That's a question asked in the on the title for this talk here. The school. What is the school board? A board's role is to govern. Some we call it governance. To exercise the authority conferred on it by the church or the members of some schools may be represented here are patron run. Some of you are from schools that's just your church, the school that our children have gone to and that I've been a member of was of three different churches had a vision many years ago, and that's still the case today. There's three churches are operating that. But the authority is conferred by those people to you. So remember that. You represent them as well. And the board is to make decisions and to set in motion a process by which church expectations are met. Or maybe you have a constitution and bylaws that the church has set up and you are to it's not your prerogative as a board to change the constitution without the correct number of percent of support from the congregation that controls the school. And so you're called there to plan ahead. We heard about that this morning. This is distinct from the school staff, whose role it is to implement decisions and plans approved by the board. And here I'd like for you to look at that second handout that I have. If you're sitting in the back, there are some handouts laying on the end there that you can pick up. You came in later. And I'm not sure if this makes sense at all to you or not. As you look at this diagram, it'd be nice to have had it over on an overhead. But we see the line down through the middle here, up and down. We hold our page sideways like you are. And we see the one side, we have the principal or the administrator, whatever you may call him. And then the other side, you have the chairman of the board. And you have that X coming together in the middle. Those two are the ones that are working together or conferring. The information is being passed from the chairman to the principal. The chairman is not the authority. He's authorized by the board to be the talking person to present it to the principal. Principal's job is then to present it to the staff or to whoever the volunteers are there. And basically the school program is under what's happening at school. Our curriculum, the things that are going on at school are under the direction of the principal or the administrator. And so just to give us a clear picture, if you look at the board, we could say above line, the board is the authority. Below that line, it's the staff and the principal. The board develops policy or rules or laws, whatever you want to call them. And then the staff implements policy. That's the role. Remember the role. That's to me, it's important to remember what the role is of the school board. That's who we're addressing this morning. And we could say that the board has the ends in mind. And we could say the staff is then the means to that end. It's up to us, the board, to have a vision. What do we want? What does the membership want? What do we want? Sometimes we see people graduating. We have K through 12. And we see people graduating that are not taking a good path. And I sometimes think, well, is that us as a school that did that? Or were we the ones that, could the school have changed that? What are we all about? Are we accomplishing what we want to accomplish? And I think boards should pay attention. What is our program doing? And then we don't go in there and micromanage or tell the staff what to do. But we think about it as a board, and we can We can pass policy then that will directly affect. Policy is different, and I'm going to talk about policy, but policy is different than... lost my train of thought. Looking at the clock, get nervous here. Policy is set by the board, and policy then directs the staff. So what do we want? And then how it's done is then up to the staff. It's up to the board to be discerning and wise and to think. It's up to the staff to act on that, those things that we give to them to act on. To think, to do, head, hand. Sometimes we think, well, the board is the hand and the staff is the head because they're smarter academically. That's not what I'm talking about. We are the head that thinks about the big picture. What do we want out of school? And don't be intimidated. Speak up. Share your conviction. And give direction. You're called to that. If we have time at the end here, I'll open it up for questions. But I see time kind of moves along. Okay, what is the school board? I think just that particular point is role clarity. And if just another thing I'm thinking about, if you're working below the line as a school board member, then you're wearing a different hat. You're now wearing the hat of maybe, this past 2 weeks was substituting for our principal. And so I'm not in there. I'm not on the board right now. It's been a number of years that I have been. But if I were on the board, I would not be there then as the board chairman or whatever. I'm there as the teacher. I'm now wearing that hat. And I don't go around because I am this board chairman telling, micromanaging, saying, no, no, you need to do this different. That's not the way it works. The staff is responsible to the principal for what they're doing. And if I'm observing things as a board member that I don't really like seeing, that is to be addressed when we're together as a board of directors and we're discussing the issue, then we can raise those issues. Or if it's an issue with your child at school, don't come in there and think that I can, because I'm the board chair or I'm a board member, that I have some extra privileges here. No, I come in then as a parent. And I address that teacher as a parent with the proper procedure, respect that our school policy calls for. And the same way with any time you cross those lines. And I know probably some of the schools have even the chairman I've heard that have served as principal out of the school. I believe I've heard that. So those things work in schools. Those things can work, but let's be able to define our roles. What the board is, and what the staff is. Okay, let's look at board meetings. Some of this was covered this morning. Unless your board meetings are well planned and conducted, they can be big time wasters. Even just starting late, consistently, 15 minutes, is a frustration to some, and to others it's, well, I'll adapt my time, and we keep getting later and later. If you're living maybe in a far south culture, that might work. But if we're on time, we don't like to have our meetings go long. Be on time, be consistent. And I believe Scripture teaches that we are to esteem others better than ourselves. And one of those things is to respect each other's time. I believe it's very disrespectful. For one person, we sit around and wait for that person 10 minutes, 7 men, 8 men, 12 men. You've wasted time. You've wasted your brother's time. Let's not be like that. Let's be consistent and on time. We want board meetings to be enjoyable, inspiring, invigorating. And if good procedures are followed, they can be that. Or they can be something that you look forward to with dread. When they're not conducted properly, and they go to 11 o'clock consistently. How many of us, after a day's work, like to go and sit on in a meeting like that and be all inspired and enthused? Someone said that after 9:30, the Holy Spirit leaves. So let's quit by then at least. Thank you. I have said not that necessarily, but that's meant as a bit of humor, but I have said after 9:30 or so, and of course there's exceptions, we're not very productive as boards. And let's protect the bottom end of the agenda. Sometimes we have all evening, so we spend so much time on the top end that we have hardly any time for new vision or the new part of our agenda, because we're always looking in our rearview mirror when we're doing our board work. I think I can say that the board has only two purposes, and they are to inform and to make decisions. Keep that in mind. That is the function of the board, to inform and to make decisions. Some of the informing happens in reports given, and I have more of that in just a little bit. Anything else may be enjoyable. We like to socialize and visits. I found as a board chairman at times, when you take a little break, everybody's instantly, they're talking, and it's hard to get things going again. Because we like to talk, we like to socialize. That's fine if that part of that happens in the board, but that's taking time. Budget your time on your school boards. And anything else that's talked about is really not, you know, we spend time doing a devotional time at some boards or prayer time. That's a part, a vital part of a board meeting that isn't necessarily informing or being informed, but it's a time of just recognizing God. So that can happen at board meetings. I'm not saying it has to be only those functions, but that is the primary or the main function of the school board, is to inform and to be informed. And I'd like to look at the informing part first. When you present something to the board as a board member, your initials are there by that agenda item. It's up to you to present it. Then you, good decisions. If it's up for the board to make decisions, its good decisions are based on skillfully gathering and analyzing information before it ever hits the floor. It's board meeting tonight, and so they scrambled. They knew they had an assignment, and it's not ready to present. Waste can waste a lot of time. Good fact gathering and analysis reduce the risk also of the board making a bad decision. I've been at board meetings where financial reports were given that I had no clue, and most of the board members had no clue where we were at, and we couldn't make good sound decisions because we were not being informed properly. The information that we have at the board meetings must meet these following tests. At least this is some of the things that I've written down. It must be reliable. It must be comprehensive and inclusive of both positive and negative. Sometimes things are presented because it's our agenda as well. We heard about that. So we really blow it up well. We really present it in a way that we really want this to pass and to work. And we don't give the balance. That's not being a person of integrity. Remember to present information in a reliable way. Is it comprehensible? And I just talked about reports that nobody understands. Get rid of 7-page financial reports. That's frustrating. I served with a man, Dave Nisley, and he's a CPA, and he was the secretary of the board. This was at Faith Builders. And I was frustrated with some of our reports. So I talked to him, and his job at one point in life was a financial officer of some kind in a hospital, in a large hospital. And he said, you know, John, what? The doctors are very smart men, but they wanted all their information on one page. Very concise, just the information that we need to make decisions. We don't care about all this other stuff. In fact, when you have learned to trust the treasure, you can almost post that beforehand and send it out, and you hardly have to spend any time on it. But have those so that they're understood by the dummies on the board. You know, there's maybe a few that will always understand that because they're really into it, but most don't. So don't present, whatever report it is, don't present a bunch of extra things that don't need to be presented. Information must meet the following test. Again, is it well organized that it can point the board to the right decision? Does the report state what action is expected? If you're wanting to vote on this issue, I don't believe something should be presented at the same meeting. If it's a new issue, if it's raw meat, don't send it back to the kitchen to cook it some more. Or give it the time test. One thing that happened to my wife and I when we were newly married was that a salesman came around and wanted to sell us an encyclopedia set, quite an investment for us. We wanted a set eventually, and he was very high pressure. And we had earlier in our marriage decided that none of us would make a decision like this without the other one, and we would also wait one day. We would sleep on it. You know, that's very good advice for a young married couple still. When I said that to him, he almost got in my face and said, "You know what, sir? I have found that when you wait one day, you're not going to buy." And I said, "Well, you have just proved your point to me. I don't want to buy. You don't even have to come back." And it was that would have been our decision. You know, when we thought about it, we can't afford it. You need to think about things a little bit, even in any kind of business decisions. That's good advice. And it's also that way on the board. Don't have these decisions made where you regret it the next day. Oh, we made the wrong decision. Because it takes, as a ministerial team at church, and as we present something to the church, we can't expect people to have the... Maybe we've been thinking about it for a long time. They need time. Give people time. And so that works on the board as well. Decision-making is the second purpose of the board meeting. I just covered most of this, I think. That has to do with boards do not make good decisions when in one session they're expected to take a raw issue and work it up to the point of making a decision. This takes way too much time, by the way. And if somebody comes and the information is spotty or whatever, and now we want to sit down here and try to hammer this out, that's not the place to do it. One or two or a committee maybe needs to be formed so they can bring it concisely to the board, say this is what's involved here to make this decision. And that those decisions can be big even or maybe not so big. And it often doesn't meet the next day test if we make it too quickly. Agenda, common complaint. There's not enough time to cover the agenda. Or our meetings are way too long. When we find ourselves overwhelmed by this, you know, we sit down and we say this monster is sitting in front of us, this agenda, it is disheartening. What are we wanting to accomplish? And is it necessary for a monthly board meeting of our school to last more than from 7 to maybe 9:30? We're doing it monthly, by the way, and I know there's exceptions to this, but it is disheartening, and I hear it still today. Wow. It's just, I'm discouraged. I don't want to. I go to that meeting dreading the long time that it takes, and I think a lot of this has to do with the chairman, but I think we can all contribute to that as well. The agenda is your servant. The agenda makes assignments and identifies what will be discussed, in what order, and how meeting time will be distributed. And on certain boards I've sat at, in particular, we would sit down with the director of that program, and we would assign time slots. Okay, this takes from this hour to, 10, 15 minutes is all we need here. This is going to take 20 minutes. Now, are we tied to that? Not necessarily. And a skillful chairman, I think, can move along without appearing pushy or hurried. I think that's one of the roles of a chairman that can be learned as well. But I've chaired enough boards that everyone appreciates moving along. Don't get bogged down. And if you see yourself getting bogged down, just say, back up, say, okay, man, it's break time. And I found even that when you go, this was addressed this morning as well. There's some on the board that are always talking. In fact, some talk too much. And everybody else sits there and has to listen to them. But I found that the quiet ones often on the board have some deep wisdom. And that deep wisdom is like maybe putting a tea bag in tea. It takes a little while to draw it out. Now, I don't mean to spend a lot of time on this, but that to waste time on the board, but specifically asking. Brother, I just remember a brother serving on the Faith Builders board that had very little to say, but he was a very wise man. Businessman, wasn't a pastor. And even talking to him in a break and just saying, now, on this issue, what is your opinion? And he had wisdom. When he talked to the board, when he was called on, he would share, but hardly otherwise. So I think we have to be discerning in our boards. Don't let the board be swayed by a person that talks too much or is very opinionated. And that takes some courage at times. I've talked to men already as a pastor and said, you talk too much in Sunday school. It's not appreciated. That's kind of hard to do, but I think it's sometimes we can maybe even tell a board member that. You know, you contribute well. Say something nice, but just asking. You know, let others talk as well, because we waste a lot of time in those kinds of things. The chairman is responsible for how the board functions. The principal is closest to the program, which is where many of the issues originate that we talk about on the board, the principal brings. So I think it works well for those two to draw up the agenda. The principal, administrator, whatever you call him, and the board chairman can draw up the agenda, and they know what the issues are. And in our settings, I don't see how you can have a good board meeting if the principal isn't there. He's not a voting member, but he's present. And he helps the chairman very much, or greatly, whatever the right word is, to be able to, okay, this issue here, you say what you want to see here, what some of the issues are, and he helps lead that in that way. I would also recommend, this might be new to you, but we have tried this on at least two boards that I've sat on, and it was a new idea to me about 5-6 years ago, and that's a consent agenda. How many of you do that? Okay, so it is new to us. A consent agenda is the housekeeping issues on the agenda, like the minutes, like the reports that we often start out with, can all be under a heading of consent agenda. Or if it's a routine thing, then on an annual basis, we legally vote for something to satisfy some kind of law. That can all go on the consent agenda. You have the board member, you set as a chairman, you make sure the board has the agenda, whatever else should be in that board docket or whatever you want to call it, that they have time to peruse and to make a point, discuss this, make a point that they know what the minutes said. They have, you know, with email today, that makes it very nice. We can see minutes on our pastor team. The deacon that keeps minutes, we often see him by evening. We have our mornings, we have our meetings like at 6 in the morning. And by evening, they're there. And we can see those. We don't agree with him, then we have the option to change it. So consent agenda means those items that are very routine but take a big chunk of your time, just by one vote, can we approve, without discussion, without reading, the consent agenda, and it's taken care of. And that was a little hard for me to accept, but that the people that are interested in the financial statement are going to look thoroughly at that. The people that most of us as board members will know what the minutes said. We waste a lot of time, and it's not taking away from, okay, this treasurer spends all this time doing this, and now we just put it under a consent agenda. No, that's not the idea. In fact, it's saying you're doing such a good job. All I need to know is a couple figures that you're showing me. And he's built that trust and so on. Consider that. Maybe it won't work for you, but it has worked on boards that I have served on very well and saved us hours. Well, the one on the Faith Builders board, it saved hours of not spending a lot of time on those issues. I talked about the suggested time allotment and the agreed. Let's adjourn at the agreed time. I think that should be adhered to. Let's be there. If we have a men's meeting at church, men are there and they're tired. And if it always drags on, they're not going to show up. So stop at 9 or whatever the time is so that everybody can go home and sleep. Not everybody, you know, has a office job or whatever. Some of those men work very hard. They're farmers, they're construction workers. Be appreciative of their families, the time they need to be spending at home. Let it not be said of us, as the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church when he was talking about their getting together when they had communion, that he says that your times together do more harm than good. May that never be said of us. Sometimes I wonder. And then the last thing here on board agendas is, and it was referred to, a parliamentary procedure, Robert's Rules of Order. Maybe I've not spent a lot of time dwelling on that. I believe I'm the type of person, too, that likes to have an official. What I'm talking about is we take a motion, we take a second, we vote, or maybe have a discussion first, and then we have a vote. And some kind of procedure is much in order. But let's not be so tied to that. The other thing I read of a chairman passing his position to the next chairman. And instead of giving him Robert's Rules for Order, he gave him an open Bible, turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There is order in that scripture as well on how we do our board meetings differently than the world would do theirs. Am I past now? What time am I supposed to close? At 11. Just started. I think I'm finished. No, I didn't just start. Keeping minutes. We heard about some of those things. I really wanted to say something about a policy manual. We've had one at United Christian School for probably 25 years. The brother talked this morning about minutes. Well, these is where they end up at. Minutes that have to do with policy, governance, should go in this manual. Every board, I believe, would profit greatly. You don't have to reinvent the wheel when you have policy that you can learn. How is it done? Policy can be changed by the board. It's not that it's set in stone forever. We have it in three parts, board policy. We have policy for personnel, and we have policy for students. Corporal punishment, what do you do? It's laid out in our policy. If you want to spank someone, and those kinds of issues. Well, thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the docforlearning.org.